Welcome, everybody, today. I know, you know, a long session can be a little bit dry, but it's a topic that you can tell Robert and after I get done talking, we're pretty passionate about. We own these people at Aspect. That's what my marketing department tells me. You won't see them in any ads anywhere else in the world. We're the largest company solely focused on the contact center industry. We're now a $600 million-plus company because of an acquisition between Concerto Software and Aspect Communications. So we're going to talk about when I started my project, my customer master was much smaller than the one I have today. It kind of grew overnight. We are market leaders in workforce management and outbound dialing. A lot of the things that we tell our customers in our own white paper, we weren't doing with our customer master. And so it was really helpful when I looked for funding. And the types of customers that we're dealing with, we're multi-org. We have, you know, 5,000 customers in 54 countries. The customers that we have are not the ice cream shops on the corner. They're these huge multi-entity enterprise customers that cross regions and theaters, and they ask us to do all kinds of same things. You know, can you bill here but go there? So that just kind of gives you a little bit of background. I myself run the order management department that includes contracts and customer administration. So we talk about that customer administration desk and the point where when does somebody become a customer? That's at the point in my organization where we understand that, and I think that's why I got to where they're at. But this is our view of a perfect world or the vision. Life is a beach, and depending on the day and your dialect, you can take that lots of different ways. But we really what we're looking at Aspect is we want a very satisfied Aspect customer. We want that customer relationship to be robust. We want to make certain, you know, simple things. Orders book and ship the same day. They're complete. They're delivered on time. Our customers pay us on time so that we've got good cash. We spend more time generating new business than reconciling old. I think a lot of our organizations are really good at hiding the dirty laundry behind the scenes, and there are a lot of people making it seem like it's easy to do business and keeping up with things, and that's exhausting. You can't put resources on generating new business. We wanted to make certain we provided some scalable solutions for managing future business, seamless reporting and leveraging customer data across the organization, and really just making it easy to do business with Aspect so that customers would want to make us their number one choice. Our systems architecture is nowhere near what Robert and his team are dealing with. We do have two back office Oracle systems. We gave birth in July of 2004 to an Oracle 11.5.9 implementation. We turned on 30 modules that we implemented in 9 months. I can tell you that we used a jackhammer to just shove customers in. So there was no thought at all as to building relationships and what we should clean up. We just couldn't do it. With the acquisition, we inherited a second Oracle system. Actually, we inherited two. They've now combined it to one. But and now we're now starting down that path, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the benefits of what we've worked on in TCA and how that's helping us with the merger and acquisition activities. So, you know, we thought, let's start with a simple concept. You think, you know, I just want clean data. You know, and for years, you know, I see a lot of IT people here, and, you know, typically the CFO goes to the CIO and says, well, you know, the reports aren't right. You need to, like, go fix the reports. And, you know, the CIO is going, yeah, but, you know, if you actually open the database, you'd see that if the report's running right, it's the data that's wrong. So, you know, we wanted to build a foundation. We didn't want to boil the ocean, just let's do a foundation. Let's learn to crawl. We wanted to make certain we had a unified customer view. We wanted to be able to maintain and service customers better than our competition. We wanted to develop a customer architecture that enabled seamless customer interactions. If they call the service organization, they shouldn't feel different when they're calling the accounts receivable organization or anything else. They should feel like the same customer. We wanted to make certain we unified rules across platforms and lines of business, because if you don't do that, everybody's running their own silos, and they're all looking at the customer differently, and they're all running on different rules, and you can't get that consolidation in your data warehouse. And then we wanted to, you know, create a robust business model to enable strategic reporting and analysis. We wanted to do a better job of leveraging the customers that we have. We have a wonderful, you know, blue chip customer database, and we really wanted to understand that data a little bit better. So what was our approach? Well, and you can read CRM magazines, you know, top 100 reasons why CRM applications fail. We assembled a cross-functional team. We didn't try to do this just in finance or just in support services. We made certain we had representatives from each of the lines of business, and that those representatives could operate both strategically, that forward-thinking piece that Robert talked about, as well as understanding some of the constraints and challenges of the basic things you had to do to keep the business running. We engaged the appropriate internal and external subject matter experts. So this is my plug for some of the consultants in the group. We had some therapists. We had a lot of very, very passionate people on this cross-functional team that really believed their view of the customer was the view that we should implement. So lots of therapy sessions, and it really helped having that third party there to help leverage some of the passions. We made certain we empowered them to own the data and drive process change. This goes back to Robert, and you'll notice that I'm sitting and driving this from a functional area. I'm not in IT. And I think that's one of the key successes of why we've gotten so far is because the owners, we realize we own the data and we own the processes that drive the accuracy of the data. We made certain that we addressed the business processes and data values and tool functionality, but you'll see if you Google me on some of the previous slides, if you buy a hub, you just get bad data faster. Maybe the color blue that comes up on the screen is a little bit prettier, but if you don't address some of these common issues, it doesn't matter if you own a hub or not. We did adopt a phased approach because it's a huge, huge topic or subject to implement. And you can get so creative with the things that you can do with this TCI architecture that you could make it so complicated you never start or go anywhere. And then we made certain that we implemented ongoing data governance, data stewardship, so that the data would stay clean. I'm not going to go through all the goals, but we set goals. Really important, set goals, because you get going and you got blue sky and this tool is so flexible and my gosh, the things you could do with it. And so we kept having to come back to what are we really trying to do? You know, and number one, I think that's the most important, we're trying to build a foundation. Okay, we're going to move on from here, but we're going to build a foundation. And the thing is, the more passionate people get about data and the, you know, that sit on these teams, they're like, oh, I want to fix that. I want to fix that. And you're like, wait, you know, we're trying to do this in 9 months. Let's build that foundation. So that's really important. Set out the goals, set out the key objectives, because it's really easy to just get carried away. This is our phase strategy approach, and you can see that we started with defining the roadmap and strategy. What were we going to do? This is where we had a lot of the consulting and a lot of talk time with the lines of business. I can't tell you, we should have tracked how many hours we talked in closed door rooms. But we set up the business requirements, the data models, and we decided what was the source of truth going to be. We didn't own a hub. We weren't going to get a hub at that point, but we knew we had to do something. And we went through a proof of concept to say, you know, this really making sense. Let's try this out. The second phase had to do with the culture and data readiness, and we set up data protocols. How are we going to name our custom? You know, were we going to use abbreviations or weren't we? Because that makes a huge difference when you're searching and doing those quick searches. And if the sales rep can't find that name, he creates a new one again and again and again. We set up the DQM council, and the members that we got, I went to the executive committee, and they each named their representative, and that's a great way to get enthusiasm from your stewardship council members. So each of the executives named their representative. We then conducted a full conference room pilot end-to-end with the models. Does it really work? We're quoting all the way to IB from Sawbase. And we started educating people. Cleansing and analytics was the third. We're still doing cleansing and analytics, by the way. And then data management and governance. So what were the challenges? Because the challenge wasn't the tool. As Robert said, the TCA architecture in Oracle is really quite reasonable. It's flexible. It allows you to address probably 85 to 90% of what you're trying to do. I wouldn't recommend customizing it because we've proven it works. So what were the challenges? The challenges were our culture. Recognition of the problem. You know, this comes, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a problem. My data is bad. Okay? And what are the costs associated with that? You know, if you've got a really, really good IT group that does a great job behind the scenes in a hub and is able to match stuff up with lots of SQL programs and stuff, sometimes the dirty laundry's hidden, but there really does become an issue because there's a lot of effort and resources and costs to support that type of an architecture. So you have customer sat issues, operational efficiency. You can't optimize your business. We had to overcome a myth that it's not just a technology issue. I mean, that's really what it's been. You don't have a hub, so that's why the data is bad. But yeah, it's not a reporting issue, and that that we are the experts. Getting over the myth that we're the only ones that know about this. You have to reach out and find out who's done it before. Why did you decide one way? Why didn't you decide another way? And really listen. Don't try to do it on your own. If you need to, bring a third party in to help lead, you know, elevate some of the passions and tensions when you get into some of these heated discussions. And then figuring out how much the investment's going to be. I think Robert talked about 1.8, did you say? And it's at least a 3-year return, and we're probably about 2.1 right now, and we've been doing this since October 2004. So the time, the talent, having the focus, knowing that you're not going to get immediate results back. And then, you know, the last, widely differing cross-functional perspectives. You've got people that have worked in the back office and IT that are very into understanding account structure. And when you do this with the account, the invoice comes out right and it attaches here. And now you've got all these people in sales and marketing, big fuzzy world. And they're like, well, I just want to know who my opportunity is. And so we really had to work through some of those differences in soft skills. We had data challenges, varieties of models, duplicate data that was cumbersome, lack standard naming conventions. I call it the best damn customer yet syndrome, because sales is so busy that they don't really spell out the full customer's name. They put in some version of some acronym or abbreviation. And, you know, you're looking for that order because the $2.1 million order was supposed to book on the last day of the quarter, and nobody can find it because, well, it didn't actually book into the customer's name. It was the partner. Processes, we didn't have good processes, we had to address those. And then the customers, and you know, Robert talked about this. They buy and sell themselves. You're in the middle of re-architecting one of your major enterprise customers, and they spin off, you know, a division, and then they buy two more. And then you have to start the architecture all over again. So those are the challenges we faced. I did copy this from Robert's slide. I loved it. This is what our organization looks like. We have a DQM council. The project sponsors were really the CIO, and it was the CFO at the time prior to the merger. I'm taking it into the full executive board, but they were really the sponsors. And when we were acquired, the new company said before the transaction closed, can we just outsource our customers to you so that you can clean them? So they got it right away. I do program management. I'm on it about 25% of the time now, but I have a full-time project manager out of Nashville, and then we have a core team of individuals that deal with the project manager does the customer architecture, and we have data specialists that do research and mergers and things like that. And then one of our biggest challenges is moving the install base around, because we do have Oracle's install base, and sometimes we merge customers, and sometimes we have to split that data up. So that's been a huge challenge. And then we rely on extended people to help us figure out what the customer looks like and what should they look like. And one of the big challenges was when we started, and this is just the model we used when we started our discussions. So you can see we looked at lines of business and business requirements by function and across the way. But one of the things we found out is that each line of business wanted the customer to look like what they needed them to look like for it to work best in their system, regardless of what the customer really looked like. And so what we were able to come to after many, many, many meetings of discussions was the customer should look like who they are. It should look like their entity structure or their regional. We shouldn't try to, you know, model them after what we thought they should look like, but actually look at them like they are so we could handle them and interact with them based on their architectural structure. This is our data quality council, and it just talks to the different pieces. We put together a council to govern policy and protocols and data models, act as strategic change agents and advocates, assume stewardship role, do architectural review and oversight related to core data models. So what we discovered is that you've got core data that everybody shares across a lot of applications, and then there's some pieces of data that just are so obscure that maybe it really should belong in that other application. So, you know, taking off the chunk that we could chew, we said we're gonna manage what we decide are our key core pieces of data to begin with. And then act as communication and education champions within their lines of business, because, you know, the best word of mouth is from the person you know versus somebody at this high on corporate level saying, well, this is what I think you should believe. You need to have those champions inside of each line of business. And again, you see very, very similar structure is that you've got, you know, all these different points interacting with the customer administration desk, which then which then administers the data into whether it's a hub or your core system and out into the other system so that the customer is set up from day one the way they're supposed to. And, you know, organizations have been doing this with their item masters and goals and material for years, where you have, you know, controlled pieces and a central group could manage them. So this is a little bit modeling like that with a little bit more incestuous relationships than you typically see in item masters. So wrapping up, just secrets to our success. We appointed business champions. I think that's really, really important. If you don't have individuals in your lines of business that can create vision and lead change, but understand, you know, not just the problems, but the benefits that something like this brings, especially when you're looking at a long-term benefit, and that, you know, that they can articulate the importance of the initiative, you know, from the business perspective. I think that's so important in order to get the funding, in order to get the people encouraged and behind it. We broke down silos. Again, lots of discussions. We were able to come to some real reasonable compromises on what we wanted to do as an organization. We understood the issues impacting the data were people and processes with a little bit of tools. I mean, you have to have some tool functionality, but the tool wasn't the primary issue we had to deal with. We invested the right time and resources. We got the executive sponsorship. The timing was perfect. Our executive team just put together a VSP plan that said we have to leverage our customers. We have to know who they are to go to the top line. We can do this and that. And our initiative just kind of slid right in. And we got the money. We adopted a phased approach. We said we're not going to boil the ocean. You can get so carried away if you try to solve everything on day one that you won't get anywhere. And we emulated the best practices approach. And that's proven by we're now in the middle of merging the two back office Oracle systems. And the discussion today on how we wanted to handle relationships and how we wanted to integrate one and the other was about a 30-minute conversation because the relationships we set up in our system and how we're approaching the data work. And we can bring that data together in our new implementation and emulate right. So that was a good thing. Lessons learned. I think this is a big takeaway. It's more about the enterprise-wide consensus in the business processes. You have to decide. You have to come to some type of reasonable solution as a company of how you want to see your customers. And what is it important that you strategically want to track? If it's just the flavor of the day or, you know, the shiny object syndrome, we want to look at customers this way in January, and then we want to completely flip the world upside down and track a bunch of other stuff the other way, I mean, you're always going to be trying to catch up. Try to come up with a consistent methodology for how you want to see your business. Everybody in your organization is a steward. You know, we talked about, you know, is it just a one-off cleansing? Nope. Everybody's a steward. If you decide that this data is your core data that you want to keep clean, if you don't have a process where every time you touch that data you're validating it, you shouldn't clean it. Because it's only going to be as good as the day you finish cleaning that data. The data integration is a journey and not a destination. That goes to the last question, I think. When you embark on this, you are on the train forever. And you know, and it can't be looked at as a project. It's a way of life in the new environment. Point four. Point four and point six. Really, don't wait until you feel 100% comfortable. If you feel 100% comfortable, you're never going to implement it because TCA is just so out there. Come up with the core things that you want to do. Make certain you've tested them. Make certain that you've got the lines of business and the processes behind what you need to do to get the data to that point. And go. There are add and edit buttons and more funding that you're going to need, but you do have to start. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, one of the takeaways is we were doing our conference room pilots and tests, and everybody was just going, and it was fine, and Pratish was there to help us. You guys can talk to Pratish, too. And everybody was really gung-ho in the conference room pilot. Then we got out and we were going to touch the first customer in production. It took weeks to get them to the point where they would actually push the button because they're like, well, we don't know everything we need to know about this customer. And I said, well, Oracle's created the add and the edit button for a reason because customers change. So, you know, they just get so into having this data perfect that they don't realize they're dealing with dynamic data, and you've really got to push that team because they've been in this closed-off environment. The TCA, again, it's a solid solution. It works. Don't make it stand on its head. Don't go out and try to recustomize something. Oracle and Siebel and these companies have spent a lot of money providing a relatively solid tool that does, that will do most of your business. And if it doesn't do 10%, you should really relook at your business process and say, really, why are we doing it that way? And sometimes it's hard because it's somebody's baby, but, you know. And then beware of scope creep. One of the things I find with my project team is that so many things in the customer master can be fixed and leveraged and augmented, and that the business justification for doing it many times is the absolute right business justification, but you've got 9 months. You know, and it's really easy to say, oh, but we'll just include this. No. So, and it's really hard to say that, and you know, put it on the roadmap, we'll go back out and get funding, we'll go back out and get that business justification. So, and it's really hard to tell a team of very, very passionate people, which I have now, that core team that's touching all this data. No. But, you know, we have to get to an endpoint, building that foundation, and then we'll lay the first layer of the carpet or the hardwood floor or whatever in the house. And then I re-looked at what Mark said I was going to talk about, that streamlining the cash process, and I thought, I better put a slide up. So, you know, I mean, there's so many benefits, and so many of them are hidden from a big ROI perspective, but, you know, when you talk to the people on the front lines, that's where you get a lot of your ROI. I mean, we had this huge customer that had 60 accounts, 937 addresses. I won't tell you who they are, but they're a major cable company. Okay, and it was taking 20 minutes for the sales rep to find the right install address to attach to the quote in order to just begin the quote process in Oracle. I have to tell you, that's way too long for a sales rep to spend on that type of an activity. So, you know, one of the quick wins is we did was we tackled that customer, and then I told him we were going to put his picture on the TCA t-shirt. Because it truly did provide a huge, huge, huge amount of savings for sales. And so, you know, it reduced the average time of finding a customer, you know, by minimum 5 to 10 minutes. So you take that past all your quotes that you're creating in your system, and that's pretty significant. We were able to leverage a 360-degree view of the customer. You know, we're talking about, again, whether we want sales online or just quoting in this new Oracle system we're going to. And one of the VPs who was at the executive level in the old company is now in sales operations in the new company. And, you know, I said, Bill, I need you to look at something before you make your decision. Because, you know, quoting, you just get that one little tab and you pull up the quote and the bill to, and that's all you see is a bill to and a ship to. You don't get to see relationships, who's an end user or who. Who's got third-party paying agents that they've got to deal with. And we pulled up one of our partners and all of the relationships and end users displayed. And I didn't even need to say anything. And that was using standard Oracle, sales online, go to the customer, pull the relationship up. Boom. And so that was huge. In order management, we're not having to do redundant updates. We're not having to fix addresses and things like that. It reduced billing issues associated with long bill to addresses. There were, you know, we just shoved the customers, you know, in multiple bill to choices that a sales rep could choose from during the quote process, none of which he was paying attention to. He only wants to make certain the commission number's right and the product's actually shipping to where it needs to ship to. It streamlined our queries and reporting when we were asked to look things up. Invoicing and cash collections, you know, it's easier to apply cash because it's all going on the right account instead of multiple accounts. And having to do manual invoices to consolidate invoices from the 60 different accounts into one. And then from support sales and install base, that's where when something comes through from the front end to the back end, when it's wrong, there's a significant amount of resources that it takes to move install base records around. It's really, out of this whole process, I think that's one of the hairiest data field or data mining fields we have, is that install base and support contracts. And, you know, when you've got 70% of your revenue quarter after quarter based on your support renewals, one makes sure that team can get those renewals done as quickly as possible. So that was another quick win for us, which enabled me to show that it made that process so much easier and that the resources involved with actually getting renewal contracts through because the install base records were more accurate, which was pretty huge. And so again, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to see that ROI, you know, pull out of the executive level, but if you get the people on the front lines talking about how much their lives are improved and how much more productive that sales guy is because he was able to make 3 or 4 more calls or
you know, how they were able to handle, you know, 12 more renewal contracts this day because, you know, they didn't have to move around wrong records. I mean, that kind of buzz really helps get the next levels of funding at the executive level handled. So that's a good takeaway.
Thank you.